Yesterday, we talked about the players I'm most excited to grab right now in a big board draft on Underdog in these final few weeks before the NFL draft. Today, we're going to talk about the players I'm least excited about while we draft a team. And yes, it was an 11 o'clock start time here on YouTube, but we're starting bright and early because we had to get some of the regulars who are a little bit too locked in on being in every room. Got to do it for ourselves today. So you will see a fresh board here. Honestly, do not recognize any of the names in here. I feel like maybe Anth GN I've seen in a room before, Fuzzy Logic, but not regulars for sure. So it is the pristine experience that some of you guys in the comments and in the chat have been asking for, and frankly, I've been looking for too. We're going to talk about it here today. Of course, it's draft number 51 for me on the year after starting during day one of the big board, April 10th here. So should be a fun one. And of course, again, a normal draft room in the big board. Who could ask for more? Who could ask for more? Shouts to chat here. What up, Spags? Our guy Justin is here, one of our cherished regulars. Appreciate seeing him. And again, glad to see the regulars in chat. Maybe not so much in the draft rooms, but excited to be picking in the six hole here. And we'll see what we get in this room full of normies. Some no badges here, some partial early badges, some red badges, a little bit of everything. Naughty, naughty. Look, like I said it, I got to protect my portfolio at a certain point. So that's what we're doing today. But we'll see what Tristan Pelaez, Guanche Vader, the whole gang here, all my new friends in this Underdog draft. Of course, every Underdog draft, you're making new friends, right? That's the goal. Or the exact opposite, I guess. You're making new friends, making new enemies, either way. All right. These guys also really soaking up the clock. That'll be the downside here, drafting with a bunch of people we don't know. But it's okay. Guys, I'm not excited about, look, the guy in the thumbnail, I know it's going to bother a lot of people out there, especially the casual people that are just looking for a fantasy football mock draft stream to look at bright and early in the fantasy football prep process. I'm not excited about Christian McCaffrey. I think the bet on him is a chalk bet. It's a bet that the expected thing is going to happen. The expectations of everybody in the world are going to come true. And I think for me, those are the least fun bets. Last year with Justin Jefferson, that was a bet I was willing to make. I think wide receivers inherently are guys I'm more excited for because of that upside, because of also Justin Jefferson being younger, having more ceiling to unpack for himself. And I guess the way this aligns, I'm going to put my money where my mouth is and take Justin Jefferson. Let's do it. So Justin Jefferson, a guy that excites me. For Christian McCaffrey, what you're asking here is a guy that's had a lot of mileage, you know, accruing over the last few years, being a 20, 30 touch back for the last few years, a guy who's had the injury history, including last year, where did have that calf injury reoccur a little bit, though he did fight through it, did keep playing through it. For McCaffrey, I think he's the least fun play out of all of them. Like, I take him at the 101. I'm taking him mostly to cover my ass. I think if Christian McCaffrey is mostly healthy for the entirety of 2024, he's likely going to be in a good amount of best ball mania finals teams. And for me, that's just not fun. That's not what I want to play into. I don't want to play into the chalk outcome. I don't want to play into the easy 20 points. I want to play into the harder 20 points. I want to play into Kendre Miller giving me 20 points in week 17 and somehow being a guy that adds in pass game work and the run game work. Obviously, I don't know why Kendre was the first name that came to mind. The point being, like, I think for these tournaments, it's more exciting to play the outcomes that are lower owned. It's more exciting to play the outcomes that are less perceived as binary. And Christian McCaffrey being a world beater, that is a binary outcome. That is what everybody is assuming right now. So I think, to me, he's the least exciting pick in the draft overall. And maybe that's a good thing in terms of giving you a floor, but I'm not a floor player. I'm a ceiling player. GM Spags, you didn't lie about starting early. Almost didn't catch the stream. Look, the thing is, anybody who expects to start time to be at 11, you'll see me at 11. That's the main thing. But look, I got to keep him on toes. And just again, like, no disrespect to our guy, Christopher, it was his birthday yesterday. But, like, you don't need to be in seven straight drafts of mine. I think, like, that's probably the line for me helping you get over your addiction to being in draft rooms. It was his birthday. That's my gift. It's helping him get over his crippling splash play addiction. Best Ball Industrial Complex, Fort Squirt, the White Sun Age. We smoked the really good mushrooms out. We're smoking mushrooms, huh? Okay. I didn't know we were smoking mushrooms. It's Sammy apparently doing things with mushrooms I've never done in my life. I've eaten mushrooms once dipped in ranch, Jack in the Box ranch. Can't eat it ever again. I do not enjoy that taste. And I also have had pilled mushrooms. Got to say, prefer the pilled mushrooms a lot more. Eating mushrooms, raw dog, not fun. I've never done tea mushrooms. So that's my, now we've got my mushroom experience. Daily comment one by Dylan here. Thank you for your daily comment one. You can respect it. Look, hey, got to make good teams, man. That's the thing here. It's not just, I'm obviously doing it for content. I still want to make good teams for myself. And when I could feel the EV being soaked out, we got to do some different stuff. All right, we got RD Hearn picking. Again, RB heavy starts for some people. So this should set up for us to have a fun kind of room for what I want to do, which of course is always going to be, I'm a zero RB guy. I'm especially would love to be an extreme zero RB guy and rooms that I can pull that off and make sense of it. So these guys, fun running back starts for them. For me, we will have a fun wide receiver start. A guy that, frankly, I don't get in a lot of rooms. We're going to add him in here. Minnesota receivers, former and present, or I guess Kirk Cousins receivers, former and present. We add Drake London to the mix alongside Justin Jefferson. So I wouldn't say this is a unique combo because we did have the early part of the big board where Drake London was going at a reasonable ADP. Now with him going normally, you know, closer to the 1-2 turn, I think we're getting a little bit more unique here with this Jefferson-Drake London combo, at least for this point in time. Wilson at 16 is nice. Yeah, look, I got to say, Wilson, if he's going to fall to here, I would like that a little bit more. Do you think Wilson at the 1-2 turn has never made the most sense in terms of, frankly, his own profile from last year? But also, you now add in Mike Williams, you add in Breece Hall and what Breece Hall did on the home stretch. I don't think it's going to happen again, but he took a lot of targets off the table. You also have the rumors out there that a Brock Bowers go to the Jets, Malik Nabers visited the Jets. These things are not great for Garrett Wilson. To me, Garrett Wilson, any addition more so, he should be probably more at the 2-3 turn. But people, I think, are just holding in for whatever reason. Could be, you know, we talk a lot about, again, I'm reading about a lot about Daniel Kahneman lately after my psychologist, therapist, father-in-law was telling me, hey, you should read this guy, listen to this guy who talks about investor psychology, and it might help you out with marketing probably. So very into what he talks about. You know, people basically, when they see things at a certain price point in stocks, they have a hard time ever seeing that thing ever being lower or different from what it was. Like, they think it's all upside from there. So that logic does apply for people show you their betting card and they show you the screenshots and DFS. That's why those things transact the most. For best ball, the analogy would be that people to see Garrett Wilson going at the 1-2 turn, people taking him at 10 sometimes, people taking him at 11. So I think there's still something that it's naturally going to keep him from getting all the way to fall where he should be. But like, what makes Garrett Wilson, if they add even another receiver on top of Mike Williams, if they add Brock Bowers, what makes him better than Nico Collins? What makes him better than Debo or Ayuk? What makes him better than Diggs, DJ Moore, Drake London? I don't think anything, personally. Analytically, it's not there. So I think it's just people carrying the vestigial, oh, Garrett Wilson really paid off at ADP a couple years ago. And I think that's a weird psychology with basketball that happens a lot. All right, 0-0-2-0 here. We do have a minor dip on Josh Allen. Not the most exciting there. Michael Pittman, honestly, one of the players I'm least excited for. Just do think that they upgrade a little bit more. Malik Nabers has been gone up and gotten got. I'm actually going to go Josh Jacobs here. We talked about it yesterday. Not the biggest fan of Josh Jacobs overall. Really, this range past the top 7 running backs. But I have to get some exposure. I think Josh Jacobs is in a good situation in Green Bay. I think the talent, as we talked about a few times on stream, not all the way there in terms of where it was a couple years ago, where he had one of his best years ever on a year that the Raiders' offensive line was absolutely crushing. Last year, they were not absolutely crushing, and he put up a negative 0.15 EPA per rush, negative 0.06 EPA per pass. Main thing he had going for him was 2.9 red zone rushes a game, 0.5 red zone targets a game. The voided tackle rate was also down substantially. He was at, I believe, 28, maybe even 33% the year before last. This past year, down to 12%. So shiftiness going down, another year of age. I think those are the bad things. The good thing is he's tied to this Green Bay offense that's going to get the ball downfield. And frankly, you know, Christian Watson's a decent red zone receiver. Dobbs, with his size, should be better. Same thing for Musgrave. Those guys aren't good red zone weapons right now. So Josh Jacobs probably going to be the relied on red zone weapon, besides maybe some Jordan Love, you know, running off of that. But Jacobs, I think, to me, a good play, but a good play in the way that Joe Mixon is, where it's entirely situational. It's not based on the player talent. Sure, guys. Steve here. Steve, hope you're feeling better. Our guy Steve was in the ER last week, I think, for his birthday. A lot of birthdays here. But shout out our guy Steve. And good morning. Love the start. Thank you so much. And then, yeah, all the regulars in here. Our guy Tyler talking to Sammy. Appreciate all the regulars here being friendly, cordial here on this fine hump day. We're humping today, boys. Yeah, I didn't even put a tweet out for the show today. I just said, we're just rolling. We're just going in. That's how much I care about building good teams. And also, frankly, like when I'm getting comments from people too about like, you need to have less regulars in draft rooms, I do take that to heart. So I appreciate everybody who did comment on that or DM me on Twitter. Got a DM about it too. So try some different stuff. You're also seeing, again, different wrinkles in these rooms than you normally see. Sam Laporta at 37. That's a nice little play there. I think that's, to me, a more appropriate range where he should go. I feel like him going to the 20s has always felt a little bit lofty. Again, willing to take him there because I believe in the player. He was good last year and obviously expecting to be better in year two. But Laporta to me going at 37, like I would rather have him over ATN a million times over. I think I would push Pittman down further. I think Pittman to me, Too much linking the Colts to other players. Colts also brought in Malik Nabers for a visit. Colts have been linked to some other guys as well, potentially Alec Pierce replacements who are going to be better versions of Alec Pierce, or, you know, just shut Alec Pierce downwards. I'm sure he's not going to be cut or anything. Watch him get cut. But I think that for the Colts, like, I just think there's something coming for Pittman that's not going to be good. And frankly, I do think that AR with his growth is going to be better for other receivers downfield more than Pittman. But we'll see. Again, I'm a big Pittman guy. Had him a heavy last year, but I just don't like the price tag. For this one, we got Jacobs. All right, we got Jefferson, Drake. I think this is a good Keenan Allen spot. I don't mind the falling or slightly falling Lamar, but we know he can go in the 50s sometimes, so I'm not going to just grab him at ADP. We're going to take Keenan Allen here. The bet on Keenan Allen, number one, makes sense because we do have Minnesota, Green Bay, so we have a shot of maybe luck boxing a Week 17 game that you don't know right now. But also for Keenan Allen, I'm a big believer in Caleb Williams. I think that the Bears are giving these guys, or giving him in particular, every weapon he has to succeed in year one. I think their commitment as well to testing, bringing in top guys, they might be able to take at number nine. I think also similar commitment there to really giving him another weapon potentially. That wouldn't be great for Keenan Allen, but it does mean good things for the offense. So for Keenan Allen, don't expect him to be kind of as high upside week to week as he was for the Chargers last year. But I think it's going to be more lateral than people think. And I think that still DJ Moore, probably the bigger ceiling. And Allen, frankly, on DraftKings, I think a little bit more valuable. But neither here nor there. Guys, Steve is still breathing. Go to Special tomorrow. Well, hey, look, that's all you can ask, I guess. There was some like some video, I think it was Adam Levitan from ETR actually tweeted this thread of like this guy on TikTok who interviews older people and asks them for life advice. And basically all of them were like, oh, you know, your health and whatever, and treating that stuff seriously, just being grateful to have another day type of things. And also they were all down on money. They were like, oh, money doesn't matter though. You know, boomers inherently have more money than my generation, the millennials, any Gen Z out there, you guys would fuck the most. Gen Alpha, my son, Luca, the most deeply fucked because boomers have been hoarding the wealth for a while. The point, sorry to all the boomers, which I know we do have some boomers watch, but they were talking about like, they don't care about money, but the health stuff and like, and being grateful for every day was a thing that was a kind of unifying theme of all those videos, like 10 of the older people that were talked to on there. So, you know, just something to keep in mind, I guess, not for Steve, but for us out there, I guess, who like, I just got to work out in, I'm not dying of a heart attack yet. Knock on wood. I don't have any wood around here. knock on my erect penis and then go from there. It's all good, Chris. It's just, you know, again, we don't need the same people in every draft room is the main thing. I still appreciate you, bud. I appreciate you going from Christopher to Chris as well as a fellow Chris. But yeah, it's just, you know, it was every fucking pick. All right. 0130. We got Jacobs. We got Jefferson. We got London. We got Keenan Allen. No correlations. I'm dying to go out and make. Rashad White. We talked about him down on enough, even though pick 54, not bad for him. I am low on Marquise Brown. I am more excited for Terry McLaurin. Why am I low on Marquise Brown? So other things coming up here. So Chiefs linked to a lot of late receivers right now. Javon Baker, I think, is one. Burton, they might also be interested in. So that is one outcome for you people out there that really do like taking those late guys. After I've said, you know, try to squint your eyes less for some of these guys until you know the draft capital. Those guys could be ones that kind of luck box the Chiefs, taking them third round, fourth round, maybe if those guys fall a little bit more than the rest of the pack. So I guess that's an outcome that's good. But I just think for Marquise Brown, like if you do add in anybody who's kind of good, Marquise Brown's going the wrong way for me. We've talked about him a good amount on the show here last year. Look up his numbers so I can just cite him as I always try to do. Negative 0.09 EPA per pass for Marquise Brown, for a guy who's a downfield target, guy who got 1.4 deep targets a game, had a negative 0.3 EPA on those. And this was amidst, you know, Josh Dobbs having the miracle year and then Kyler coming back for a little bit and being good. I just am not the biggest Marquise Brown guy. If you were in the 70s, if you were going where Kadarius Toney was last year, I can make that bet. I can make that bet. If you're going where Sky Moore is going, I can make that bet reliably. But I think for him, I think there's one more price drop. We probably don't see it in the big board, so that might be faulty logic a little bit. But I think McLaurin's a better upside play. No matter what, McLaurin's getting a QB upgrade, whether it is Jaden Daniels, as I expect, whether it's Drake May, or it's J.J. McCarthy. Like, those are all upgrades here. And for the J.J. McCarthy non-believers, by the way, a good video once again by Hayden and Josh over on the Underdog channel talking about J.J. McCarthy, why you should be looking more positively at him. So they did the Bo Nix one. They're playing all my hits right now. They did a Troy Franklin, too, and we're very optimistic about him. Though, you know, point out some of the flaws as well. But I think for, you know, for those videos lately, a lot of good videos on Underdog that late in the process are backing out all the stuff that I thought, you know, basically back in January. Marquise Brown wasn't driving the car to hit and run. He has that going for him. Sure. I mean, I still think that it's probably not going to be a deep penalty for, I mean, if it were, it'd be a historical precedent. Because like what, Dante Stallworth got a year for murdering somebody. So, you know, I don't know. Brian Thomas Jr. is here. We do have Jordan Addison here as well. Could go for the correlation. I do think that people would naturally go more towards Addison. I think Brian Thomas gets a better spot. We still have the chance of him being the guy that goes to Buffalo. So I'm going Brian Thomas here, even though I think the Addison correlation would be nice. Team so far, one running back we did take in the third round, Josh Jacobs. We have Justin Jefferson, Drake London, Keenan Allen, Terry McLaurin, and Brian Thomas Jr. I am, as I talked about enough here, I am deep in the bag for Brian Thomas Jr., a prospect that I really initially, you know, had some questions about. Still have some questions. I think that part of his production was because of Malik Nabers being an elite target earner who defenses really have to account for anywhere on the field because he can break a 5-yard pass or a 50-yard pass for a touchdown. But Brian Thomas, being an elite athlete, having the size, he is like a bigger, more athletic version of Troy Franklin. Even though Troy Franklin was a better producer, I think, in terms of earning targets and all that, and then showing that he could be a wide receiver one, I think Thomas's worst case is like good Gabe Davis. And I, people might not want to hear that, but like, I think that's his worst case. His best case is again being homeless Randy Moss, so, which is a comp that I love very much. So that is why we go with the Brian Thomas there. I feel like you have about 40% McLaurin. Now I showed my exposures. I'm not that high on McLaurin, actually. I don't know what they are right now. He was one of my top five, but yeah, only 19% heading into today. So yeah, I'm at a reasonable amount of McLaurin. McLaurin actually is where my ceiling should be. I do play a little bit looser in the big board where for Jaden Daniels, I have over 35% of him. I'm happy to do that because I just think he's going to go somewhere and then the logic will start to set in, especially in BBM time and people will move him up, much like AR last year. I was kind of hoping that Addison might come all the way back and I could basically end my receiver run, but it's okay if we don't. This is a video about guys I'm not excited about. I remain very excited about Brock Bowers. He is the pick here for my tight end. So mentioned yesterday, I think Brock Bowers has a shot to be tight end one next year. More likely outcome to me being that like tight end four, tight end five, like a Trey McBride. But there's going to be spike weeks. If he goes to the Jets, I think does he go up? He probably goes up if he goes to the Jets. Garrett Wilson comes down a little bit. And I think that's a fine outcome, honestly. I'd rather Brock Bowers go to a Carolina where there's kind of an open depth chart there, though I don't think that's the most likely outcome. It does seem like they're going to go receivers a little bit more so. Also, Carolina courting running back, by the way. So Chuba Hubbard fans, I know some of you have kind of come down to earth now. They've said it's going to be a competition between Chuba and Miles Sanders. They brought in Trey Benson. They brought in Brooks. Carolina live for a running back. Brian Thomas getting some under 12.5 pick steam by local draft insider. Okay. I mean, look, that's certainly it would be a nice pick. I think there's a shot the Bears could take him at 9. And I think, honestly, he would make a lot more sense in Chicago than Rome Odunze. Obviously, if you get Odunze at 9, that's great. He's a better player, I think, in terms of like, you know, the overall ability, the ability to be like an alpha target earner. But Brian Thomas with DJ Moore, with Keenan Allen on that team with Caleb Williams would be one of the better outcomes for him in year one. Still going to be a better in best ball guy. I don't think he's like going to be an 8-10 target guy, especially early in his career, maybe later on. But I think for Brian Thomas, I like where he can go. I think he's got opportunity. And the athleticism being great, definitely there. Sammy loves all you motherfuckers. 60 out. Time to teach the world the best ball. We got learners out here. Summer love in the spring. Shout out to our guy Sammy, of course. Splash play, I would say. No show more values your community more here. And unfortunately, that does mean sometimes trying to make sure that we're keeping the videos entertaining and fun and insightful, hopefully, for people out there. But that's the goal here on Splash Play every day. New drafts, Monday to Friday, 11 a.m. So hit that subscribe button. Hit that like button. Like button in particular helps out a bunch, getting seen by more people. And of course, subscribing too. More of a vanity metric, but if you want to see videos every day, I am showing up here every day, trying to bring no info, certainly reading everything out there that I possibly can. I guess news items out there I should probably talk about every day. Fantasy Life talked in depth about the Darren Waller situation today. I thought that was kind of interesting. Darren Waller, people have treated him like he's retired. He's not retired yet. I think it was Ian writing today, but was speculating about how Darren Waller might be holding out to see the QB situation as part of it. Obviously, the lower leg injuries for Waller are a thing too, but if you've been not taking Waller entirely, I don't know. I get doing that, but it does seem he's still live to play. I think people kind of wrote him off because one of the NFL aggregators on Twitter was like, Darren Waller is going to retire. And ever since then, people were like, oh, yes, of course. NFL memes knows all the news. And then they've just filed Darren Waller away as retired. But given the risk people take on in other positions, I think that you can go back to Darren Waller a little. DeAndre Swift goes, would have been happy to get him, but that's okay. Yeah. Monday or Friday, 11-ish. Yeah, sometimes, usually 11 a.m., but sometimes you just gotta keep a stiff arm. We're doing Heisman poses here, keeping the people at bay. Gotta try to show. To me personally, and I love Pete's draft rooms when he does streams and all that. It gets a lot of regulars in there. I think the best baseball content is like a room full of normal people because you want to know how to work against normal people. I'm willing to take on the challenge, you know, here and there, especially if there's like a bunch of spots. But to me, like the best content is if you can, you know, smaller streamers getting normal rooms because you want to see real stuff. Like this is a real room here. You can see the fucking dumb shit moves that are going on. Like this guy's got like fucking 80 receivers. Like we don't get this in some of the stream rooms. And I think that's what I would like to see more of in my streams. 0-1-5-1 though, so we got positional flexibility here. Can go some different ways. Glad I didn't take Christian Watson. Was thinking about taking Watson in the hope that Jordan Love would come back to me, but Jordan Love goes to the guy with Jalen Hurts and no Green Bay correlation. So the downside as well of one of these rooms. Get the next pick here though. See what we can do. Big running back pocket, which we don't mind here. Because I'm so locked in on Raheem Mostert, I have been kind of low on Jalen Warren. I don't know if the situation's better for Jalen Warren this year. Still a shot that he just gets big dicked by Najee Harris at the goal line in particular, but I will take Jalen Warren for some exposure. Still like him as a player, just felt like last year. Granted, a lot of that was the offense, but didn't come through in the way I would have hoped. Where is he numerically? Yeah, last year, Jalen Warren, negative 0.03 EPA per rush, negative 0.14 EPA per target, 30% avoided tackle rate, though. So you give him grace and say it's not his fault. But Jalen Warren, I just thought, you know, analytically overcoming. Caleb Williams at 93. This guy better have DJ Moore. All right, he does. Lamar and Caleb. All right. Not getting Caleb as my QB here. That's okay. We'll cobble something together here. Honestly, might be, well, I'm not going to say it out loud, but getting sniped on Caleb. DJ Moore guy at least had a right to him. So we got that going for us. Hey, shout out to Pound here, another good creator. Got some good drafts on his channel as well. He did some of the bigger boards, the biggest boards as well, if you guys want to see the high stakes stuff. 6 RBs through 8 rounds in the 11th spot. Gotta love normal rooms. That's the thing, man. It's like, I don't want my portfolio to all be wide receiver avalanche rooms if I can. Wide receiver avalanche rooms where people take the players that they know I'm really into because I've been talking about them since January. I think I'd like to have a little bit of a mix in the portfolio. Brian Robinson, though, another guy I'm very big on. He goes at 98. Would have been happy to take him for the Washington play. Theoretically, might be able to take Eckler. Trey Benson, I think, also not a bad pick. Javonte Williams. It's a good pocket for running back. I'm going to take Javonte here. I think he is a better pick overall than Eckler. What's the way that Eckler? No, I don't think it's it. I think it's just Javonte over Eckler and me. Trey Benson, I would also make the case to go over Eckler as well. Benson is just getting good visits from every team that needs a running back. He's going to go somewhere. Great athletic profile. Wasn't great analytically in college, but still the athletic profile, teams wanting you. Those are the main things we're looking at for running back right now. And Benson's getting them probably as much as anybody besides Jonathan Brooks. And he doesn't have an ACL tear like Jonathan Brooks has. Let's give the team a read here. We have a 0-3-5-1. We got Josh Jacobs, Jalen Warren, Javonte Williams at running back. Still need to get more volume there, but that's a pretty good baseline. Wide receiver, Justin Jefferson, Drake London, Keenan Allen, Terry McLaurin, and Brian Thomas. So we've got some deep shot guys along with the floor that hopefully Jefferson, Drake London, and Keenan Allen provide. And a tight end, Brock Bowers, who remains one of my favorite tight end picks at ADP. So I'm very happy with the team so far. There you're going with Eckler for the Washington hope down the line. I think that Javonte is just a better pick than Eckler is really the main thing. I agree the correlation would be okay, but I'd rather have Javonte. For B-Rob to Manya, F those dudes, but he went, yeah. B-Rob to me, if you're getting a Washington correlation at all, if you're taking McLaurin, even if you're taking Dotson, and to me, if you're still taking Jayden Daniels, I think that's it. I think it's Brian Robinson. Like, I think he's a much better pick than Eckler. I've been saying that for weeks now. The ADP is finally starting to swing back the other way. One team also that Trey Benson visited that I thought was interesting, he did visit the Giants, and I think that would be immediately pretty bad for Devin Singletary. So still happy to take Singletary, but if he's coming up in ADP, we've gotten Singletary in the 120s on stream lately. I would watch the creep up of Devin Singletary. I don't think he should be coming up right now as we get closer to the draft and they're bringing in still enough guys for top 30 visits of running back. Javonte wasn't that good the year before last either, before he got hurt. Like, I know people were in the bag for him. I think, again, kind of the same Antonio Gibson thing where he was good at one point. It was good the year before last year. But he wasn't that great. He just got volume. I think for me, it's more the volume being there in Denver I'm willing to go to. Analytically, last year, I think he was pretty flat with where he was the year before last. But yeah, negative 0.15 EPA per rush, negative 0.14 EPA per pass. 13% avoided tackle rate, I think, would be lower than where he was the year before last. But he's just a volume back. Like, I think in particular over the next few years, that's going to get hopefully a little more people being aware of that, where like just some guys being volume backs. Javonte just got a lot of work early on in his career, and I don't think he was ever great with it. But if you're getting 20 touches a game and an offense in position to score, you're going to do okay. And he had a little bit of pass game work, but not enough that you think he's a good pass catcher. Like, I think he's good because like Denver's going to give him the ball pretty aggressively, but I don't think he's actually like the best running back in the world. He's young. He's going to get the touches a lot at running back. All right, 0351 here. Running back still looks pretty good here. We got a falling Zach Moss. I, of course, bigger and bigger on Chase Brown. I think I'm going to go Chase Brown here. Team so far, Josh Jacobs, Jalen Warren, Javonte Williams, Chase Brown, who I took over Zach Moss. And I think I feel correct about that, even though Zach Moss is the ADP. You make the case you can take him there. Justin Jefferson, Drake London, Keenan Allen, Terry McLaurin, Brian Thomas Jr. as my wide receivers. And tight end, we have Brock Bowers. Still need wide receiver. Definitely need to take QB at some point as well, or get started at QB at some point. So those are the flaws right now. Well, you started early today. I did indeed. Why is B-Rob not going next to Ramondre? I think he's a better pick than Ramondre as well. Ramondre has a lot working against him. Number one, he wasn't that good last year. Number two, it's a new coaching staff there. Ambiguous backfield, what I was talking about. Anybody coming in can be a winner. It could be Antonio Gibson. It could be Ramondre winning them over. Could also be somebody who's a rookie just coming in and being the guy that takes over too. So that's something that's a big risk point when you do have the new coaching staff coming in. And for Ramondre, I think he should be in the hundreds, honestly. Ramondre is like way too high priced. Again, another thing too, where it's like, oh, well, he was priced the 2-3 turn last year. He should be priced still. And like, he shouldn't be priced above Mostert. He shouldn't be priced above Najee. I mean, obviously that wasn't the case today, but generally he's going ahead of Najee. I don't think he deserves to be around Aaron Jones. I don't think he deserves to be around Mostert. To me, he's more of a this range guy, but I'm down on Ramondre. I like Ramondre a lot the year before last, as I've mentioned, when he was going the 100s, 120s. Even this year, you can make me buy back in on him then if he's going around Gus and Chase Brown. But what did he do last year to deserve going where he's going, like leading off this run? I don't think so. It's anchoring to years past. Yeah, that's it. That's really it. Again, the same thing we talked about. People with their investments, they lock in on things they've seen before. All right, on the clock here. This is tough. I think in this room, based on what I've seen so far with like them going up and getting Jane Daniel or getting a Caleb Williams, stuff like that, I think the rookie is going to be a sexier pick. I am going to go with Jaden Daniels here, and we're going to hope that we can kick another QB back. I might have started a QB run though, would be my fear. But let's see. It's the Kyle Pitts drafter. Okay, the Kyle Pitts drafter might take him here. Might have fucked up by not going Kirk first, but I'd rather have Jaden than Kirk, I think. Especially with just a bet on Drake London, not a bet on the Atlanta offense overall. I think you'd rather have a Jaden Daniels if you're going to prioritize. And Jaden, my hope is that he's going to correlate with Terry McLaurin. And he's got a shot maybe to correlate with a Brian Thomas somewhere. I don't know where. Also a shot that Jaden could end up going to Minnesota. If he somehow is the one that gets the musical chaired out of a top four pick, which would be insane to me, or I guess, yeah. I mean, it's possible that you could just end up seeing the fourth end up being a defensive player, offensive lineman, wide receiver. Like, there's some other ways that could go. If Jaden Daniels somehow falls and he goes to Minnesota, or Minnesota can move up and get him, I think that would be one of the best outcomes for him. So we have two potential Jaden Daniels outs, and I guess we could add on a third with New England if we wanted to. Max, the little board too, and I'm sad on Trasekhead. Tyler's too enthusiastic. The little board, though, I get getting in. Honestly, I appreciate them putting out the little board because it's clearly made the big board slow down enough. And I would like the big board, like, I'd like to keep having drafts until the NFL draft actually starts. But we're about 90% filled in the big board right now. So if you have a lot of entries to put in and you want to max it, now's probably your time to do it. Do you grab Rodgers as second QB since he took Bowers? He's heavily linked to the Jets, possibly unique stack. Interesting idea. I think it depends on what we get back at this spot, but you could talk me into that. I think it's not a bad take. I don't know that I want Brock on the Jets, though. Like, I think it's the most likely outcome right now, or it seems like one of the more likely outcomes. And I guess it would be an upgrade. They gave fucking Conklin, like, a stupid amount of targets last year. Like, Conklin was getting 5.2 targets a game for Tyler Conklin. So you give 7 to 8 to Bowers, they're going to be a lot more effective. Then you have still Wilson probably getting shaved. Wilson is going to get squeezed, man. Like, I don't see why Wilson hasn't come down at all in ADP. He's getting squeezed no matter what, I would say. All right, so the guy who had Kyle Pitts did not take Kirk Cousins. So I think we're going to be live for Kirk, and that means I hopefully won't have to do any Aaron Rodgers bullshit. Brock to the Bengals feels like wheels up. I would want them to get rid of Higgins in that situation, but definitely a good spot. He's a better version of Tanner Hudson for sure. All right, Kirk Cousins is here. We're going to take the correlation with our guy, Drake London. So the team so far, Jaden Daniels, and I was correct that I could push Kirk all the way around. I don't think Jaden would have gotten back to me. So I think I made the right choice there. Jaden Daniels, Kirk Cousins at QB. I think we're done at QB with that. Josh Jacobs, Jalen Warren, Javonte Williams, Chase Brown at running back. Wide receiver, Justin Jefferson, Drake London, Keenan Allen, Terry McLaurin, Brian Thomas Jr., tight end Brock Bowers. So I'm going to have to stick the late picks. If I do, I think this team is sick. If I don't, I think I have a top-heavy team that is okay. But I like the team overall. Shout out to Guy Fucking Alpha. Shout out to all the people joining here. Of course, started a little bit earlier today, but drafts around 11 o'clock every day in the morning, Monday to Fridays. So please subscribe down below. Hit that like button, of course. All of your likes do matter a lot here. It's a one-person shop. It's me doing streams every day, so your likes help me get seen by more people. That is the main goal here, of course, if you're a YouTube creator. So please do that. Help a brother out. And please hit that like button. And of course, subscribe if you just want the new content every day. Of course, if you're new to Underdog, promo code SPLASH on there. Double your deposit up to $100. And my sports betting app probably been crushing. 2.5 units gained yesterday. Hopefully back on track in NBA. So had a nice home run bets or a couple home run bets on Monday as well in MLB. The data's cooking at probably. Also, the product improvements we have coming up looking good. So get in there. Promo code SPLASH will get you half off at probably.com/subscribe. And we also have a 7-day free trial at probably that I will leave in the pinned comments because you can also get a guest hosting spot on Splash Play. Last call next Monday. I'm drawing for our April guest hosting spot. My YouTube screen looks fucking weird. I can't find the like button. Okay, well, that's bullshit. Big conspiracy against me. I think in this build, Darnell Mooney makes sense because we're just trying to get leverage against Kyle Pitts now. I also would have been happy to take Leggett. That was the one I was eyeing the most. But I'm going to take Mooney here for my wide receiver 6. So we got the Kirk double, which is okay. Yeah, I'm happy with the team so far. Yeah, I saw the comment, Adam. I appreciate that. Yes, Spags fave Mooney. Atlanta, by the way, like it's insane to me. I mentioned this the other day. It's insane to me that the NFL.com mock draft is like, yeah, the Falcons are going to trade up and get Marvin Harrison. Like, what? Like, it would be a batshit move when you just gave Mooney that much money. Granted, Marvin Harrison, an infinitely better player than Mooney, but like how rich do we have to get? Like, let's see what Drake London can do as an alpha first. I think that is one of the more illogical things. And I feel like mock drafts, like if you're going to do good mock drafts, like team logic is a big part of the mock drafts. Deshaun Watson goes ahead of Matthew Stafford and Aaron Rodgers. Interesting to see him coming up. Falcons should take Brian Thomas or Rome. I just don't get why you paid Mooney then. Like you shouldn't have paid Mooney. If you're going to give him that much money, play Mooney and see what you have with London. Again, if they align in the right way, I could see it, I guess, where you're, if you're trying to go full Rams mode, you want to find, you know, your Puka to Cooper Kupp. But like, you just added Rondale Moore. You just added Mooney. Like, you gotta know what you have in house before you start doing that. A big run at running back by MJ10K here. And so he went zero RB until round 10. So that's why. Oh, hey, that's how you do it. Guys, Steel City Blue asking a team build question. For stopping a 2QB, even without a top six guy, usually go three unless two studs. You're better off going two. You just want to have two guys that theoretically, like, my approach is that who can beat Josh Allen in week 17? Like that said, you know, same thing for Jalen Hurts. I guess same thing for Patrick Mahomes, even though we know Mahomes can be beaten by anybody. But who can do that? If you have two QBs that can do that, you're good to go. If you don't, I could see adding a third. But, you know, most of these guys can. Like, down to this range, Jared Goff can beat Josh Allen. He did at points in the playoffs last year. Jaden Daniels can absolutely beat Josh Allen. Tua, I don't think can beat Josh Allen. So that's, you know, a concern for me in week 17. Stafford, kind of tight. Rodgers, I don't think can. Herbert in this new offense, he didn't beat Josh Allen very much last year. I think that's the prism I would try to go with, because you're basically with those picks, like we talked about with not being excited about Christian McCaffrey, with any QB you're taking, you're just trying to get leverage against the chalk, and that's going to win, you know, more often than not in DFS. Like, chalk values are great. Chalk high ceiling, high floor takes tend to be not as good. Something to add to the Braylon Allen bags. He goes around your next pick. Very likely to be a big winner on draft night. Yeah, I took him yesterday. I'm okay with Braylon Allen. He wasn't that talented. Like, I don't know. It's hard for me to get there with guys who analytically weren't very good. Last year, Achane would be the only example where it's like, he had some things that were good, but overall, just a guy that looked like he had too much volume and couldn't handle more. Chase Brown, same thing, though obviously, you know, different levels of player. So I think that's the one thing that maybe gives me pause, and Braylon Allen can get the volume. But I think it's more like if you're taking Braylon Allen, it's a size plus volume play, because analytically he didn't miss tackles. He wasn't that great as a power back either in terms of like the stuffed run rate. Not opposed to taking him, but we'll see. 2-4-6-1. I mean, this team does fit better with a Braylon Allen. I think Antonio Gibson would be more of a play if we had guys that were less solid at running back. I am low on Roman Wilson as well, but I don't feel like I need that here. And we're going to die at running back soon. So let's go Braylon Allen. Jeff wins this round. Team so far, we get Jaden Daniels, Kirk Cousins at QB, Josh Jacobs, Jalen Warren, Javonte Williams, Chase Brown, and Braylon Allen at running back. Wide receiver, we get Justin Jefferson, Drake London, Keenan Allen, Terry McLaurin, Brian Thomas Jr., and Darnell Mooney. So we have the Atlanta stack. We have the possible Jaden Daniels, Washington stack. And then one that I think would be the most fun, Jaden to Minnesota, though I am still locking in Jaden to Washington and how I approach things. And Brock Bowers, a tight end, who I also love. I win the round. You want cake. I don't know what to tell you. Can't feed cake through the internet as far as I know. But maybe one day. Dare to dream. Like the episode of The Simpsons where Homer thought hitting the tab button on the keyboard made a tab come out. The drink come out of his computer. Dare to dream. Hasn't been true yet since I came out in like the 90s. But one day. Like the RB evaluation by the metrics is far less predicted than the same models. I agree to some extent. It's RB so much more opportunity based. That's the main thing, really. So I agree with that front. You just have to have a team that falls in love with you, gives you the draft capital or the runway to succeed. So yes, but you still want guys to be good, especially against lesser competition. Like anytime you're going from lesser competition to greater, you want these guys to be outliers against lesser competition, because that's going to give them the best shot to be outliers against higher competition. But yeah, like Trey Benson didn't grade out that well for me in terms of the EPA metrics, but and also wasn't a great avoid a tackle guy. Looked better in the pass game, so I think he's got some utility there. But he's fast enough, and it just takes, you know, the athletic profile plus some team taking him in the first round, maybe, you know, more likely second. That's enough for him. Morning, everyone. Chiming in late. Just got finished with a training client. It's a better way to do cardio than chill on the treadmill splash pad. Okay, we got Tanner here. I'm sure Tyler's sad to hear that Tanner might be the fittest man in the splash play community right now. But shout out, Tanner. Working hard. Appreciate all you guys. If you're at the office doing your jobs, squeezing in some splash play. Always nice to see. This is a tough call for me. So Jaden Daniels, I could hit maybe the only other remaining possible outcome for him where he does go to New England. And we take Hunter Henry at tight end. Hunter Henry would get an instant glow up, much like a Dalton Schultz did last year, though I guess Dalton Schultz is good enough in Dallas. You could make the case that wasn't that big of a glow up with CJ Stroud. But I'm happy to add in Hunter Henry as my tight end two here. Don't think we're locked out of going three tight ends if we want, but we'll see how the RB pockets and wide receiver pockets align. And frankly, I'm not opposed to taking JJ McCarthy as a third QB. Even though I feel good at two, I think McCarthy could be a nice luxury here. Try to cover one more outcome. Can't draft teams in Kenya. Need to live glory through your streams. Thank you, Jeff. I mean, look, hey, that's why I tried to do the draft stream at a different time. So I think this team was a lot cleaner as a result of just this being a different room. I think I could have maybe hit zero RB a little bit harder and then really dialed off there. Not taking Josh Jacobs, instead gone Metcalf. But if Neighbors was gone, kind of spooked me there. If I'd gotten Neighbors at 30, like the scene would have been different, but it's okay. It's okay. GM/coach boners are just not included in the modeling. Fair point. It's a fair point. I still think ultimately the main thing I believe, which really, if you're new to Splash Play, this is like the main thesis of everything. Outlier performances on the field lead to outlier performances in practice, lead to increased opportunities. But that's still a thing where it's like, you got to be healthy. You got to be in the mix and you have to be able to have the pockets aligned right. The best case for this was Kendre Miller last year. Kendre Miller was actually pretty good in terms of what he did on the field and, you know, the counting stats. EPA wise, I think was better in the pass game than the run game, but you know, that's fine. He didn't get a ton of work there. Sample size, not that great. Was still better than Kamara in both metrics. But because Kendre was hurt to start the year when it was Jamal Williams' time, he never really got a chance. Then Kamara comes back in. Kendre is then coming in at the same time, so he's not going to pass Kamara. Then later on in the year when Kamara's banged up, Kendre's also banged up. It's like, it's this weird push-pull, and that's the main thing, is like the talent could be there. Kendre was a high avoided tackle rate guy with a decent EPA coming out of, was he out of TCU last year? So for Kendre Miller, like, he didn't hit because he just didn't get A, the draft capital, or B, the opportunity to really hit it. And it wasn't his fault. It was just like the timing didn't align fully. So that's something I'm trying to be mindful of, is like Benson, to me, is not as good of a running back as Audric Estime. But I think that Estime is going to have to really show and earn to get the role. He's not going to have the huge draft capital, whereas Benson, because of the elite athletic profile, he's probably going to have the draft capital. So I hope that makes sense. But that's really, like, if I'm going to try to sum up Splash Play, it's like analytics breed performance, breed opportunity. But you still need to have a shot to get the opportunity. And sometimes a guy can just come in and just get the opportunity without having the other things aligned fully, especially if they're an elite athlete, especially if they got drafted early. Breland faced the stacked box on 50% of his runs. So, okay, so he had the biggest sample size then. Well, I'll look at his number in a minute, but we'll get there. All right, we still have Bucky. We still have Audric Estime, who I'm a little bit lower on than I would like to be. JJ McCarthy would be a nice third QB pick to try to hit. I think I could just cover too many outcomes by having Jaden and McCarthy together, so I am going to take McCarthy as my QB3 here. Didn't think I needed him, but because we have Washington, because we have Minnesota, because we have New England as well, like, one, these teams are going to get probably McCarthy and you know, they're going to get May too potentially, but like, it's McCarthy, Jaden Daniels are in the live, or in the hunt to be live for that spot. So that's why I'm doing that. As we locked into a backup role at this point, agree that he's a talented back, but he'll need injury. It depends where he goes. Depends where he goes. If he goes, who's like a, honestly, if Tennessee takes him, he's the best power back they have. Tyjae's fine. Like, Tyjae's a good red zone back. Tony Pollard, we saw last year, not at this point, at least coming off injury. Estime going somewhere, if he goes to Buffalo, that'd be a pretty good outcome for him. He would be a good goal line back. That would not actually, like, materially hurt James Cook, who they did not fully want to give the red zone role to, even though he got a lot more work. I don't think he's a pure contingent value. If he goes to, like, the Niners, then yeah, we're fucked. Like, he's the new Tyrion Davis Price. There's some chats talking about, can you hear? I got to look up the Braylon Allen stat. Hold on. All right, Braylon Allen. Okay, Braylon Allen, an 18% missed tackle rate's bad. So the good news, he actually, his stuff run rate is better than I thought. It's not as good as some other guys in the class. Blake Corum had a better stuff run rate. McClellan's right there. Jalen Wright's right there with him. But 12% stuff run rate's not bad. 0.05 EPA. He is still a positive EPA in the run game. But negative 0.09 EPA in the pass, and he only had 11% avoided tackle rate in the pass. So your best case is he is a power back and a two-down back, which are not normally guys I'm trying to go out of my way for. Obviously, I took Braylon Allen here, so I'm hoping the good outcome. But I think for him, you're looking at like a between the 20s back who's not going to catch a lot of passes. So like, you're looking at stereotypical early Derrick Henry is probably the outcome for him, you know, in terms of the workload as a good outcome. Hard not take shots on Braylon and Estime. You see their clips and they just look like grown or put grown men on their ass. Estime literally hurdled two dudes within five. Look, I told you, like, Estime to me, you watch the video of him, you watch the highlights or a full game sometimes as well. Like for him, he really, you see it play after play. So I do like Estime on that front. I just wish he were a little bit faster, but his RAS still wasn't bad. It just wasn't good enough. And his top 30 visits have not been wowing me. I would like to see him get in with a few more spots. If he goes to Carolina, like, it's another one too, where he can win. All right, Valchrist soaking up the clock here. 3-5-6-2 build. Could still use wide receiver. Could still use one more running back, and I think we're going to take that here. A very unsexy pick, but again, ambiguous backfield. We'll take the shot on Miles Sanders for RB6. I feel like this is how I make the case for Miles Sanders every time, is like, look, it's an ambiguous backfield. They've said as much. They have not declared Chuba a starter. They're talking to rookies. Could go poorly, but for Miles Sanders, I think it's okay. And we're seeing here, though, I did pay the price tag for not taking McCarthy, or for taking McCarthy. It's like I lost out on Bucky and Estime, who I do like. Lost out on Shipley, who at least is a rookie that had a good pro day and showed as a plus pass catcher at Clemson, even though he was not a plus rusher at all. I missed out on all those guys and had to settle for Miles Sanders. So that's how one round of ADP can work. That's also why, too, for you guys out there, why I do try to push stuff down more. People always go like, oh, you got to lock this up. You got to get this guy now. And it's like, you're better off trying to push so you can make another position better or the same position better. But it's obviously subject to knowing the room and trying to read it appropriately. He did increase the speed of his pro day. It was not great at the combine. And it was slightly less bad at his pro day. But he was still okay. Like, he was still an okay athlete RAS-wise, even with the bad 40 time at the combine. So like having a slightly better 40 time, certainly a positive. Bucky's the one who completely botched at the combine, where he looked good in drills, but analytically with the athletic scores did not do anything. I think he was like a 3.7 RAS, which pretty bad. You don't want to be below average. So that's why Bucky's fallen, unfortunately, precipitously. Let's give the team a read here, because I think I need to think it through a little bit more. So a 3-6-6-2. So I think we're done at running back. Can add a couple receivers if we so please, and I think we probably will. Jaden Daniels, Kirk Cousins, J.J. McCarthy, Josh Jacobs, Jalen Warren, Javonte Williams, Chase Brown, Braylon Allen, Miles Sanders. So obviously it falls apart with Miles Sanders. I think one more running back more in the Braylon Allen range would have made this better. I think a pretty solid RB room, especially with the bet on Jacobs. So I'm okay with this one being my RBs, with especially this wide receiver room. Justin Jefferson, Drake London, Keenan Allen, Terry McLaurin, Brian Thomas Jr. So he went heavy at wide receiver, then dialed back, and then took Darnell Mooney to complete the stack with Atlanta without Kyle Pitts. We have Brock Bowers and Hunter Henry at tight end. So we're live for more receivers. We're live for more tight ends. Definitely done at QB and likely done at running back right now. A quality Africa talk. Quality Africa talk going on chat. Splash Play, the only place in the world you're going to find fantasy football chatter, best ball drafts, and quality Africa-based content from the community. That's the hope, at least. Treylon Burks goes to 206 here. We got him in the 20th round yesterday. Treylon and Chig going back to back. People really dying for Tennessee late in the draft. The Will Levis guy. Does Will Levis guy have anybody? Yeah, Will Levis guy has no Tennessee correlation. So that's also funny to see. All these drafts, man. It's different every day, guys. That's one thing I will say. Oh, Adam, the Georgia in you is showing. I will not entertain those, good sir. No, thank you. Pick coming up here. Jalen McMillan, a guy I get none of. Do you think Tank Bigsby would not be a bad pick here? Damian Pierce, the thing Dunzo. Alexander Mattison, with what we saw last year, would never want to take another shot with that. Could go with another Atlanta. Really try to lever against Kyle Pitts. Now Tank Bigsby goes here, so never mind that. Do I like Jalen McMillan enough? I honestly don't. I think that Rondale Moore should go above Jalen McMillan right now. Gesicki, not bad. That doesn't correlate with anything we have meaningfully. I'm going Rondale here. I just don't think Rondale should be pick 219. He's a slot receiver on a team that doesn't currently have one. And we've seen slot guys have tremendous spike days with Kirk Cousins. So a little more Atlanta correlation for me added to the team. And we'll give the team a read after round 19. How new is this RAS score? People hate that. How new is the relative athletic score? I'm not as familiar with these metrics. Do you find any outliers breaking the trend of having a low RAS? So generally with RAS historically, and obviously, like, I think it's shifting between our feet or right now or beneath our feet right now, because every guy coming out of the class here is a good athlete. We keep seeing more freak athletic performances in the last few years. So I think it's getting to be more like the SAT, where you could prep for it. You'd show you're a good enough athlete, but it's been, you know, the data's existed since there's been an NFL combine. It's just a matter of, like, the guy Math Bomb, I forget what his real name is, Kent something, putting it together in a database and then having it be easily exportable for social media. So it's been more popular in, like, the last 3 to 4 years, I would say, because people can look up the numbers and tweet about him and act like they know shit about the players. But it's important. Like, RAS testing basically correlates better to draft capital. Does not correlate necessarily to performance, but obviously at the NFL level, being a better athlete, it's going to give you a better shot at being a performer. So that's kind of the main thing. I've not had Ethiopian food. I've not. I feel like I've heard positive things about it, but I've never been anywhere where it's like, oh, you gotta try this Ethiopian place. So unfortunately, not part of my knowledge base. Trey Palmer goes here. Still like him. Think he's still mostly contingent value, but Chris Godwin being downgraded, Mike Evans getting hurt right after getting a contract. These are things that make Trey Palmer be a lot more valuable. Interesting pocket right here. Kind of think that Penix should start getting drafted more. If he's going to get this first round capital, and I do have some concerns that it is a little bit smokescreeny for trying to get him into the first round, I think that he deserves it, though. There's been enough rumors. Some people like Rappaport a little bit more than I do. Rappaport's been touting Penix since, like, day one. And Odunze. I feel like he's got a Washington source because he was really heavy into Odunze. It was, like, sucking him off before he was, like, everybody was. But for Penix, too, kind of same thing. So I don't know. But I still think Penix, if you're dead at QB, taking him as your QB3. If you're really dead at QB, taking him as your QB2. That'd be nice. This is a normal room, and Brendan Rice doesn't get drafted in normal rooms. You should be able to scoop him up. I think you might have jinxed me there, but we got Juwan Jennings getting drafted. So who knows? But hopefully. I was thinking a Brendan Rice play coming up here. I don't think I would wait till round 20 for him. But we'll see. Hopefully these guys get. I feel like the guy R.D. Hearn might be watching Splash Play. This is another weird wrinkle, by the way, of Splash Play these days. Not for the pat on the back, but just so you guys know the things that I'm dealing with. There are also people who are underdog drafters who know that if they see me in a room, that I'm likely on stream, and then they'll check the stream. So sometimes that's a thing too that doesn't help me if I'm like talking about my picks and shit on stream. Johnny Wilson getting drafted reliably again, which makes me happy. I think he's better than Keon Coleman. Keon Coleman probably going to get better draft capital because he's a more reasonably sized human being. Johnny Wilson, better performer. Juwan Jennings, a product of Spike Week's news video. Okay. I mean, his outcome looks okay if you see Ayuk shipped out, but Ronnie Bell is going to get better. Niners also bringing in some decent receivers in this class to see if they want to add one of them. Vidal. People drafting Vidal now too. All right, let's get Brendan Rice. Again, Brendan Rice, to me right now, steal the draft. I hate to like plant that flag because we don't know what the draft capital is going to be. But every team bringing him in, him being just under the radar enough as an athlete, even though he was good in every metric, he just wasn't great in any single one. For Brendan Rice, I think that he is in good position to go somewhere good and produce right away. I've said it countless times, but the best sales pitch for Brendan Rice is watching a Caleb Williams highlight reel and going like, why is this Brendan Rice? Why is it number 2 over and over again just making plays? It's Brendan Rice. He's a really good player. So happy to get him. You see the Schefter interview with ETR? He's in the Underdog Streets, made August. Okay, I did not know that. I put it on briefly, but didn't actually watch, so was not paying enough attention. And look, I mean, it's hard not to think that. But either way, I don't know what the joke was, and frankly, I don't wish to know. the back of the day, I used to have like those tasteless joke books when I was like a little kid. So like, I'm very, you know, I'm no stranger, especially as a child growing up in the 90s or whatever. Like, I think that I saw many of the bad jokes out there that we can't say now in 2024. So I'm not spooked off by it. It's just content wise, what are you doing for yourself? not a lot. Do we need a second review? No, you're good. If you left a review already, I'll just put you back in the wheel again. So you're good to go, Bindles. Anyone keeping up with the current mock drafts and wild shit in there? That's what I was talking about earlier, where like, the NFL.com one I thought was awful. I think the Athletic ones are pretty good, close to how I view it. I can't imagine Atlanta trading up for another superstar receiver. I think there's enough. You get cheap guys here, and it'd be a terrible usage of capital for a team that seems like they're suddenly doing things really intelligently. But that's how I feel about it. How they'll feel about it, who knows? Jelani Woods getting drafted. Hope this guy has AR. I think he does, right? Okay, good. Yeah. I would never draft Jelani Woods if I didn't have AR. And frankly, really don't want to draft Jelani Woods when I do have AR at this point. Guy who missed a year for a hamstring injury and was like trying to get back and couldn't get back. I think it's possible that Jelani Woods doesn't play again. But obviously the hope is he can get back. I get drafted him, but they got enough guys there. Brendan Rice is going to be good simply from a ratings perspective. You're going to tell me the greatest wide receiver, GOAT's son, isn't going to see play. I mean, look, I think that certainly doesn't hurt. And I think really with him, you know, the time you're going to be leery of like a legend's child is going to be when they're getting steamed up a bunch. Like if Marvin Harrison weren't that good, it's like he's going in the 2-3 turn because like he's Marvin Harrison Jr. I think if Brendan Rice were Jerry Rice Jr., people have made this remark before, he's probably going at least where Ricky Pearsall's going. Like I think that's really a thing. Brendan Rice, though, you can't expect a guy. Honestly, I saw it with Bronny firsthand last year. You can't expect the guy to carry over the dad's skills, but I would say that it is still a leap forward, and Brendan Rice is actually good. It would be like if Bronny had like a 30% usage rate and 15% rebound rate and 50% assist rate. He'd be like, oh, well, he's LeBron's son. Like, yeah, he's LeBron's son. He's fucking amazing, though. Instead, he didn't shoot the ball. And when he did shoot the ball, his turnover rate was as high as his usage rate, which for basketball fans out there, you know, it's a really bad sign. Like, this is not Bronny. Like, Brendan Rice is not Bronny. Yeah, he did visit the Niners, so that was one where it wouldn't be great. If they trade Ayuk, then looking better. But again, I think if they trade Ayuk, you just see more Ronnie Bell, too. Like, I wouldn't think Juwan Jennings has assumed anything, even though, you know, obviously we saw the Super Bowl be a big game, but that's, like, the most recency bias, I feel like. I mean, Jeff called it. I didn't say it out loud, but Ben Sinnott's still available here. We're going to add him to complete. Really, I still haven't gotten the five rookies I wanted to get earlier in the year. Where I wanted to get Jaden Daniels, Audric Estime, Troy Franklin, Brock Bowers, Ben Sinnott. We get two of those. Have not ever gotten all those guys in a draft, but it's okay. I think this draft worked well today. So different timing gets us a 3-6-8-3 with Jaden Daniels, Kirk Cousins, J.J. McCarthy, Josh Jacobs, Jaylen Warren, Javonte Williams, Chase Brown, Braylon Allen, and Miles Sanders. Wide receiver, we have Justin Jefferson, Drake London, Keenan Allen, Terry McLaurin, Brian Thomas Jr., and we sat in the position for a while. Got Darnell Mooney, Rondale Moore, and Brendan Rice to close us out. And a tight end, Brock Bowers, Hunter Henry, Ben Sinnott. Ben Sinnott, if you're not familiar, likely going to end up the second drafted tight end. Nowhere close to Brock Bowers. Don't expect it to be like last year where you had that run on tight end. But it does seem like Sinnott going to be a day two pick, and we'll be happy to get it. Are we all getting drunk? Actually, yeah. So if you want to, again, Saturday, I have to confirm with Pete to make sure how we're doing this, but Saturday is supposed to be doing the drunk stream with Pete to catch up for Splash Play hitting 3K subs. And of course, Pete hitting his 15K last year. So that is coming up on Saturday. Again, a great thing to do because Splash Play, especially with me having to wiggle around the timings a little, subscribe down below, hit that like button, leave a comment. Of course, Splash Play here trying to grow right now, but in particular, hit that notification bell because we're going to be sneaking in some drafts at times around 11, but sometimes a little bit earlier, maybe sometimes a little bit later, but usually probably earlier. So just one way to keep it fresh, make sure we get organic rooms here so you actually can learn what I'm trying to do and hopefully get something out of it. Of course, other plugs here. Let me go to the big one. Underdog, again, promo code SPLASH on there. Double your deposit up to $100 using that promo code SPLASH on there. Stochastic, I am putting in, I think, 10 entries is what I'm going to do in the Millie Maker for PGA. It's Masters. How can you not? So use the PGA Sims. Just get 1 week of Sims on there. 15% off the promo code SPLASH. link in the description as well if you want to get stochastics, tools, and data. Of course, they have PGA, NBA, MLB, MMA, all the tools out there that you need. NASCAR, I would say in particular, for the non-NBA, non-MLB sports, you're probably doing yourself a favor by just using Sims tools. So check that out for yourself with the promo code SPLASH. Best way to support Splash Plays, hit the join button down below. Be part of the Squirt Squad here. Get your name right on screen and all that every week. Second best way to do that, though, is check out probably my sports betting app. Again, we just rack up wins, have made really big gains for our customers, especially our earliest ones out there. It's going to be the case for you, too. Just using market data from the winningest sports books around the world to properly price bets, it's going to be the best success you have for yourself. So check it out, probably.com/subscribe, or check the pinned comment where you will find a 7-day free trial of Probably. And of course, leave 5 stars and a review if you want to be entered to win a guest hosting spot on Splash Play that'll give away on Monday. Thank you to all these fine folks that we put on the show. Had some drop off of members here. Hopefully some new ones coming in. But again, great way to support the show here. Join down below for $4.99 a month. You get access to a premium Discord. You also get VIP treatment here. I always make sure to read as many chats as possible from paying members here on stream. So please hit that join button down below if you want to get in the mix. And Spags rankings as well. Ones you can use on Underdog. They'll be coming after the NFL draft for BBM and whatever, I guess, whatever tournaments you want to use them for. Follow me at Chris Spags. Follow the show at Splash Play Pod. Shouts to Chad as always. I appreciate you guys being here and dealing with me starting drafts at weird times. I'll be back tomorrow with more. So enjoy your days, guys. And of course, good luck. Bye.